It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Give me Olin Krutz. Line them back up. 47, 46 years old. I'll take it.
Gosh, man, at some point, I know it's 2024. At some point, shut the hell up.
Olin Krutz.
If the guy didn't want to fight me at some point during the game, I am not playing hard enough.
14-year NFL veteran.
The leader of the whole deal, Olin Krutz. He's the heartbeat, he's the soul, and he's the guy that's going to lead the way for the Bears offensive line.
6-time Pro Bowler and 4-time NFL All-Pro.
I know if Olin's speaking, it's going to be the truth. It's going to be what he sees, and it's probably going to be right.
Football analyst for 670 The Score.
Good morning, Matt. Welcome to The Score.
I want to tell you guys about my conversation with George McCaskey while I was tailgating in the South Lot. So I'm a $50? Season older. What's that?
No, go ahead. Holmes being funny.
Today was the first time ever that George actually sniffed back at me.
I've been sniffed at by George at the ticket office, right?
Yeah.
When you go up and get your tickets back.
If you have a relationship with George McCaskey, you've probably been sniffed at.
I know what that feels like.
I know. Olin is going to abstain from this conversation for obvious reasons.
I've been sniffed at many a time.
And I look forward to hearing that story again and hope he includes it in his Hall of Fame induction speech.
Olin Krutz with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our segment with Olin Krutz is brought to you by your local Ford dealer. Shop now at buyfordnow.com. By the way, Tanny got us a whole bunch of Olin Krutz stickers.
Oh, dude, they're gorgeous.
I put it up on my laptop today.
That is awesome.
So for those of you who are watching on Twitch, you can see the most awesome sticker of Olin Krutz. It is so appropriate for this particular week as the Bears are getting ready to take on the Green Bay Packers. What's up, O?
What's up, guys? Man, I want to thank Tanny. I love those stickers. So been a big hit in my house, too. My daughters, they stuck it on a few things. I said, I don't know if that's appropriate for school, guys, so you got to watch out.
We don't want them to get in trouble. That's for sure.
We don't. Yeah.
What's your assessment of what's gone on this week? Like, I'm sure that you probably felt like the move with Waldron needed to happen, but what does this do to a team when you have this type of upheaval?
It's a really interesting move, right? And it's kind of like we talked about last week a little bit about how Pete Carroll talked about Shane Waldron down there in Seattle. And then, you know, you wonder, you know, who are – so they're blaming this on Shane Waldron, trying to jumpstart their young rookie quarterback, trying to jumpstart their offense. Found a lot of the comments, guys, interesting, coming out of Halas Hall, as I'm sure you guys did, right? The attention to details, the letting things go. You guys have all played sports, right? I start to wonder myself, I wonder what they're really saying, right? I wonder if they know what they're saying and what they're talking about. Because remember now, when the OC is out there, there's a quarterback coach, right? There's the pass game coordinator who's now the OC, right? There's a wide receiver coach, there's a running back coach, there's an O-line coach. Who's responsible for the details at each position, guys? Who's responsible for emphasizing that guys do things the right way? It's not the OC, guys. It's the position coach. Right. So when they say those things, I think to myself, man, I wonder if they know what they're saying. And I understand that it was time to move on for Shane Waldron. I wasn't a big fan of his for a while, as you guys know. Wasn't a big fan of his play calling. Wasn't a big fan of his play calling down there in Seattle. It's early to move on from a coordinator. That's a lot of people said, oh, it's been done. And I know I've heard you guys all week. Nothing's apples to apples. I just don't know if it's ever been done to a rookie quarterback to create that much change, that much chaos. in a young quarterback season is very interesting to me, and I'm interested to see which direction this goes in.
That's really interesting to hear you talk about what they might actually be saying and what the dynamic is. Like, so is Shane Waldron, is the offensive coordinator, supposed to be coaching up the coaches, the assistants, and then letting them coach the players? Like, where's the disconnect and how it's supposed to work with the details, Olin? That's interesting.
That's a great question. Where is the disconnect, right? Because I've been a lot of coaching staffs. You guys do in your own building, in every business, there's good cop, bad cop, right? And if I have an OC who's not really into getting the guy's faces, right, because not everybody responds to the same kind of coaching, then I surround him with guys that do get into people's faces. I surround him with the bad cops, right? Oh, that guy's too nice. I've had a lot of nice guys coach in the building who are really good ball coaches, right? So you're telling me this one guy is the reason there is no details on your offense, right? The OC guys, he's not even in position meetings. I hate to get frustrated, but the things that come out of Hallis Hall, guys, as you guys know, Lawrence has sat and watched a lot of games with me. I get perplexed sometimes when people start talking about things out of Hallis Hall, when they start saying things, right? Like we said 3 years ago, this O-line is going to be a problem. Oh, my gosh. Now it's a problem, right? Pete Carroll said last November that we have unique talent, right? We have unique talent on the Seattle Seahawks offense, and I don't think we're using it the right way. Oh, let's bring the guy and build the same unique talents and give him that offense. Look, I'm just confused when I listen to this stuff, guys. Really confused at the fact that, well, it's the details. This guy wasn't being hard enough on us. The OC is not in the meeting room, guys. When the running back makes a mistake, you guys tell me, who corrects him?
It's the running back coach.
Chad Martin.
When the wide receivers make a mistake, who corrects him?
The wide receiver coach.
What the hell are we talking about?
So how much responsibility do the players have?
The pass
have
game
on
was broken. We'll make the pass game coordinator the OC. I'm sorry, Lawrence. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Do your thing. Because,
you're on it.
Look, Speaks and I also thought it was weird too that the guy is the passing game coordinator, but he's never really talked with Caleb, who's the quarterback, who's ideally the person on the field in charge of your passing game. I think that's a little strange.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch them go forward here. They play a lot of good teams. They play a lot of better teams than they have played. Look, I don't think anybody is cheering more for Thomas Brown than us, right? We're tired of watching that offense there at Soldier Field. We're tired of them not being able to score points in the first half. We're tired of all that stuff. We want the young quarterback to develop. It's good for our business. It's good for their business. It's good for everybody. We want them all going the right direction. We all knew there'd be some regression in Caleb Williams' first year, right? We're all wondering. Everyone's trying to figure out what the hell is going on up there, asking all these questions. Answer it on the football field, right? Like I heard Dan Weider talk about their film. And I always tell you guys, people lie. Film doesn't. Film never lies to me. Lawrence watched a lot of games with me. I could care less what the people at Hallis Hall said. I just watched the film. It tells me everything I need to know, right? Their offense was broken. I'm just confused about players coming out, older players, captains coming out and saying that we weren't emphasizing details enough. I tell you who emphasized details when we were at Hallis Hall. I did. We emphasized details. It doesn't mean we're always good. It doesn't mean we always did the right thing. But I never came out and laid waste to one coach and blamed him for the fact that I wasn't concentrating on my details.
Well, see, there it is. That's incredible stuff from Olin Kreutz. Olin, that's what Lawrence was getting at right there. He started to ask about the player's responsibility because Keenan is talking about seeing other players, right? Mercedes Lewis flat out said it, from the youngest to the oldest, we need to be told what to do. So, like, I wonder if these players are calling each other out and being as responsible for each other as you need to be. It sounds like you have your doubts about that.
Well, I have my doubts on, do they know how to fix it, right? Do they know when guys come out and say that stuff about Shane Waldron, and like I said, I wasn't a huge fan of his playing calling, questioned him on the way in, right? When I read about him and I studied him and I watched their film down in Seattle, and I saw that, oh, look, we built the exact same offense for him here, except our offensive line wasn't as good as Seattle's offensive line. But I figured that, you know, maybe they thought they would all grow together and him and Caleb would develop a relationship like Caleb was talking about earlier on. It's just, you know, since the Washington game, guys, it's been interesting there, right? To watch them talk a lot about their coaching staff, the coach staff not take responsibility, then take responsibility, then someone gets fired, and then they all come out and again, instead of saying, you know, I got to get better, and you know, me not doing my job, you know, I used to think, man, when guys got fired, I'd feel bad because I felt like I didn't do my job to help this guy keep his job, right? And I know it's the NFL and it's a hard business and all that stuff is true. But at Hallis Hall right now, they're trying to fix their offense. Thomas Brown is up, but the other coaches, everyone surrounding him, they all have to do their job too. Because when I hear things like the details and accountability and all that kind of stuff, I've been on a lot of football fields. Like when I'm at Carmel, when the offensive line makes a mistake, Jason McKee doesn't yell at them guys. I do. Right, I'm the offensive line coach. I get them going. I worry about the details. I worry about what they're doing wrong. I worry about the things that they should be doing. And then I go back and I talk to the OC and the head coach, and then I talk to them about the guys, and they let me know what plays they want to run and what they want done. But the fundamentals, right, the fundamentals, the hands up, the pad under pad, they bring their knees, they stay over your feet, they get your hands inside, they regroup your hands. That's my responsibility.
I'm going to get the opportunity to watch football again with Olin, which is like going to grad school. He and Patrick Manley, because I'm going to be sitting in for Mully this week on the pregame show that will be live at Wonderverse in Oak Brook, which is a really great place. You should come out. We'll be there from 9 to noon doing the pregame, and then we'll also do the post after the game is done. Wonderverse is awesome. Great Clips is going to be sponsoring the postgame show. It's presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse, Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on the Score and the Odyssey app. Oh, one of the things that I picked up from you is you talk about how people can talk about focus and concentration on Sunday, but it doesn't really matter that much if guys weren't focusing and concentrating on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and when they're looking at the film of the next team. What are you hoping happened this week at Hallis Hall from that standpoint on trying to get yourself together and then your unit together to make sure that you don't have a disaster against Green Bay?
Yeah, the interesting thing about everything you just said is that can make all the difference in the world, right? And with that change, with that firing, maybe a little fire under everybody, and now you get a little more focused, a little more concentration, and now guys are all moving in the right direction, and Tom, they bought into Thomas Brown, and if they weren't totally bought into Shane Waldron, then that was a big problem, right? That's a big problem to have on your football team. So you're hoping, like you're saying, Lawrence, everyone says details. Well, let's define it, right? Let's define details. Details is that Monday you're already watching your first and second down cut-ups. You know what they like to do. You know what defense they like to run against you. You know how they're going to attack you from whatever personnel you have in auto. If you have three wide receivers, you know what they're lining up in. They got one or two defenses on first, second down, and they got one or two blitzes, and then you're watching the guys you're going against, right? If I'm a center, I'm watching Kenny Clark, right? I'm watching their linebackers. I'm watching how I'm going to attack them. I'm going to go after them, and then I'm applying that in walkthroughs, right? My focus is there in walkthroughs. I'm using the technique I have to use is Kenny Clark. Kenny Clark's really good at his hands. You better get your hands on him quickly, or he will dominate your center. So that's what you're talking about when you define, when everybody keeps saying details, we have to do the details right. Well, then that means you have to do it every day. And like you guys saw with the Bears last week, with the delay of games, the offsides, the penalties, the guys not working to the right guys, the guys not on the same page in the pass game, the receivers different depth than the quarterbacks throwing the ball, the running back not really hitting the right hole, the linemen not getting to where they're supposed to be, not working together the proper way on the proper angles. Those are all the details they need to work on. And that, my friends, start not Monday. That starts Sunday after your game is done. If you got time, pop in the next team.
What do you hope to see in terms of kinds of running plays and personnel and frequency from this offense on Sunday, Olin?
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about it, and that's usually the cure for a broken offense, right? Is to run the ball downhill, be stubborn with it, keep yourself either ahead of the chains or in kind of a favorable down the distance, right? Second and eight, second and nine. I heard John Gruden talking about, all the old ball coaches hate the quick side-to-side screens. I heard him talk about just getting the ball out fast, getting the ball out quickly, taking what's there. Same thing we were talking about when Shane Waldron was here, right? Over and over again, we were talking about play-action passes. Now, they checked the two play-action passes last week, and Caleb held the ball for 6 seconds, and didn't give DJ Moore a shot one-on-one down the field. But you know, Swift is really good. You guys saw that those inside zone runs with the tight end splitting back, Cole Kmet coming back to kick out what they call the emu, the end man on the line of scrimmage. He's got that guy. The lineman double teaming up. It'd be great to have Darnell Wright back, a big man, strong, their best lineman. Braxton Jones is back. It'll be good to have him back. They got a tough matchup this week. The Packers are really good at the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball. It's going to be tough for them. But everything you guys have been talking about, I don't have to say it again. Everybody's been saying it. We all know how to simplify the offense for a quarterback, right? Move the pocket, give them half-field reads. If you ever hear Bowen talk, I know Lawrence has him all the time. He's great at that. Everyone knows what you should give a young quarterback. The Bears are just struggling on getting that stuff executed and communicated on the field. And they're really struggling, man, just taking the layups right now, right? Can't miss your layups, and they're missing them, right? And they're not stubborn enough with the run. Now we got a former running back coach here calling plays. We'll see what happens.
Spies and I have been talking about, like, Caleb's part in all of this and how excited everyone was for Caleb. Is it fair to think that the Bears expected too much and put too much on him? Or if a rookie comes in and is very confident in their skills, you should throw stuff at him? To me, it feels like they threw everything at him instead of saying, hey, man, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to perfect this. And when we perfect this, then we're going to move on to this. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, let's rewind back, right? Let's rewind back when they were struggling earlier in the year, and everybody started talking about giving the players more power, right? We need our first 15, and they came out, and they said they told the coaches what they wanted. They told the coaches what they wanted to do. And then they had three games of success, and everybody was raving about it. Remember that, right? Everybody was raving after the Jaguars game. Great. You gave them all. You're doing what the players want. You gave them their first 15, and the players came out and announced. We told the coaches what they needed to do, and they did it, and we were doing great. And then after that, people caught up to what they were doing. This is the NFL, man. You're going against the best in the world. Once you put on film what you are, they'll take it away. So, like Caleb, I'm still excited about him. I don't know about you guys, man. Like, he threw that ball last week out a bunch. He whipped it to Keenan Allen. You know, sometimes he does things you're like, man, that is an elite talent the Bears have at quarterback. We've seen a lot of elite talents fail, right? A lot of it has to do with culture and your building you're in. As you guys know, eventually the people in that building, they have to understand how hard it is to win, not only in the NFL, how hard it is to win in Chicago with the microscope that the quarterback is under. And the people at Hallis Hall have to understand that and have to help this young kid groom and grow and get moving in the right direction. And they got to get, like, they got to get him just playing ball again. Like you guys, everyone's talking about, stop seeing ghosts, get the ball out of your hands, get it to your playmakers. The playmakers got to start making plays, right? The playmakers got to start getting open. The guys who they gave a lot of money to got to start doing stuff that says they understand what their contract is and what they need to do. So the young quarterback has a long way to go. Surprise, surprise, right? The rookie quarterback has regressed at midway through an NFL season in November. If somebody thought that wasn't going to happen, it wasn't me, right? I've followed the NFL too long to not know that there's going to be regression coming at different points in the season, especially midseason, especially, guys, you can almost set your clock to it, especially after they play good. Right, because what are they doing when they play good? They're doing what they want to do. You know what they do in the NFL? They take that away from you and make you do something else.
Olin Kreutz here with us. All right, man. Bears Packers. You got a story about Bears Packers that you've never told that now is perhaps the right time to tell, Olin? Or if you'd like to go to one that you have told that is your favorite, you can do that too. It's dealer's choice for Olin Kreutz on a Bears Packers Friday, sir.
As you guys know, I've been a part of a lot of Bears and Packers games. There's the Walter Payton game that everybody calls is my favorite memory, man. Brian Robinson blocks that kick. We win the game. No business in beating that football team with the football team that we had going up there that day. Obviously, we all think Walter Payton helped us out a little bit and lifted Brian Robinson up and blocked that kick. But, we played in the coldest game in Bears history, overtime against the Packers, won that game. You know, obviously the NFC Championship game sucks, but the week leading up to it was something, man. It was something to be a part of that history, Packers versus Bears. I my first start, guys, ever in NFL was versus the Green Bay Packers. It was the last game of the year. Started for Dave Wansett at center. I went against Gilbert Brown, right? I've been against B.J. Raji. I've been against every nose guard you can imagine there from 90 to 2000. They had great teams. We had great battles. That game is an extremely important game. You learn to hate them. You learn to respect them also. And you learn to get after them. You know, a part of rivalry, even when I'm not playing, right? Everyone's mad about me saying I'm going to beat up Aaron Rodgers or punch him in the face or whatever it may be. And I get comments on that too. But it's been a lot of fun through the years. Just like to get back on, you know, I think there was a time there in the mid-2000s where we were winning a lot against the Green Bay Packers. You know, obviously we had Brian Urlacher and the guys there on the other side of the ball. That defense was ferocious, and they haunted the Packers for a while there. But I'd like to get back to that, winning more games right now. As you've heard a lot of people saying, we have no argument. It's not really a rivalry right now. We don't like them. They don't like us. I heard him talk a little trash about DJ Moore this week. That pissed me off, even though I'm not even in the locker room. That made me mad, right? I heard him talking about it's not a rivalry. Like, that's why we're talking about we got to get Caleb Williams better. We got to get everybody moving in the right direction. Got the defense to stop the run. It's going to be tough this week. Just looking for more wins against the guys up north.
Hey, Olin, I was on Green Bay radio this morning, and I can tell you that Green Bay fans and Bears fans can bond over one thing these days. Enjoying Aaron Rodgers struggling as a Jet. We are all enjoying seeing that old man get caught as he tries to scramble because he's 40 and he can't do it anymore. Everybody's enjoying that failure together. So we're bonding.
We're bonding on that. And then you remember he's making $50 million this year. That just hits you again. You know what I mean? He just wins again. You know what I mean? Like, you guys all think he's suffering. He's on a private jet. You know what I mean? Eating cheesecake and drinking wine with his pinky out, right? Here's a crazy thing. I tell you how crazy this rivalry is, guys. We talk about stopping the Packers' run game, right? There's a Butkus up there, right? Luke Butkus is the O-line coach. He does their run game for them. He's a former Illini ILL, and he played for the Bears here his rookie year. He's actually a Harry Heistand guy. Know him well, but that's how crazy it is, man. It's a Butkus coaching the Packers run game, and that's what we got to stop this week.
Oh, have a great night tonight. Have a good weekend. I'll see you Sunday morning over at Wonderverse in Oak Brook.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Olin. God, he's the best.
Look, man.
What a great data point to add to the Bears-Packers thing. Luke Butkus is the offensive line coach.
This is what I've been trying to tell you. I was in a room with him and Briggs and Alex and Matt Forte watching games. And basically, I was like the plush toy. Like when they'd want to, you know, get some frustration out.
They grab you.
Yeah. There's a gif of Alex just like shaking me because he's so excited about something that he's seeing on the screen. But that's the level of intensity that he watches games with. Like, the guy cares, man. And people are like, wait, why isn't Olin coaching for the Bears?
Uh-huh.
Like, seeing some of these texts that come in.
Yeah.
And I'll just say this about Olin, and I know that he doesn't like people just like talking about him. That's what he's like as a friend, too. Like, you need that motivation. Like, you need someone to let you know to get your bleep together. You get a text message from Olin.
Yeah.
You stand up straight.
You need
and get your stuff together.
You need people like that.
He's a good man. Yeah, I enjoy him quite a bit.
I was going to text you that to get your stuff together. But I didn't think that you'd take it from me the same way.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
I mean, I did play center. Does that matter for the Sequoias? The mighty ones? Did I tell you we were the mighty Sequoias?
Yeah.
Still didn't matter, huh?
Whatever,
Shane.
I mean, you bring up your intramural football as if I was not, like, a great intramural football quarterback.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Not center.
We'll do that.
The guy that, you know.
You were the quarterback?
Yeah.
Well, they're both acquisition positions.
The quarterback, though.
Yeah, well, we need to work together.
It was a whole freshman team. Right, we went to the championship
game. Tell you what, you talk about it on Wendell and Herman as much as you want.
I don't know. Wendell, he hates those days. Those are dark days for him. Yeah, he's gonna leave that up to Holmes secondarily.
I understand. Lawrence, there's a big-time buzz. Tanny, big-time buzz is here. He's here.
Wait, do we salute? Buzz? Or?
Big time buzz is all about a non-football activity that's taking place tonight. We need to discuss, and you'll hear some audio that ties into my theory about what's going to happen in this thing tonight. We'll do that next on Spiegel and Holmes. Ooh. And 670 The Score. 670 The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
It is on like radar song.
With a fleet of super bats.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Status rate on charge. Afternoons on The Score.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Time for some action.
That's the dude. That's the mindset. And when he was the baddest, most dangerous, most feared man on the planet, Iron Mike Tyson, as a young heavyweight, then the idea of him going into a fight like this thing tonight with Jake Paul, which may or may not be a sham and a publicity stunt, I mean, it's all of that. But there's an idea out there, Lawrence, that this thing is sort of fixed or completely fixed. I don't know about you. I got tweeted at last night with a script. Somebody said, look, they found the script to the fight. And it was the 5 rounds all, like, written up. And I don't believe that was that. But
well, there was the video of earlier Tyson talking about how he doesn't like people stepping on his feet. And then yesterday, Jake Paul steps on his foot. And then he slaps Jake Paul, and so it, like...
So that part of it feeling staged to you, where he took that...
It's personal now! It's personal now! He must die!
Those girls in the background didn't even flinch. Like, they knew it was coming, too, on the slap.
On the slap of Jake
they
Paul?
They knew it was coming.
I would love... So look. My family, besides me, is filled with academics and creatives, okay? My brother is a creative. He's not really a big sports guy. He was like, hey, are you having, like, a fight party for the Tyson thing? And I'm like, what? I'm like, no. I'm like, what? He's like, I'd be interested in watching that. And I'm like, what? Like, because, you know, he and Mike are around the same age. So because phenomenon Mike Tyson.
It triggered our imaginations in a lot of ways, a lot of people.
But it's so weird because there are people who are really boxing purists. And I used to consider myself kind of a boxing purist. But the game has been dirty. Like, it's been dirty for 140 years.
Sure.
It's been dirty.
I know.
So there's a part of me where I was just like, I give up on wanting to talk about how beautiful it is to fight.
Well, when you're talking about the dirtiness, like, Sonny Liston might have taken a dive in Lewiston, Maine. You know what I mean? So, like, that part of it has been going on forever and ever and ever.
And as wrestling, as professional wrestling has risen, and now people understand that they can be entertained by something. It's still real to me, damn it!
Yeah.
That they can be entertained by something if it is well-produced and well-scripted, that maybe the athletic part of it doesn't matter as much. And now we've seen people drift into that.
Okay.
Floyd Mayweather may be the greatest defensive fighter of all time.
Uh-huh.
And he went Carnival Barker at the end. And here's Conor McGregor. And let's have this fight where we dance around. And I act like Conor McGregor can actually hit me.
And here's the part of it that reacts to that is that I don't want to believe that Iron Mike Tyson would give into that and just be a freaking pawn in a play tonight.
It's $10 million.
I'm aware. But that dude and that fighting heart, I don't want to believe it. And the other thing is, even if he did agree to it,
that he might go against it, he might break story.
Damn right. That even if he agreed to it, once the bell rings and he is out there and he is in a
fog of war.
In a fog of war. Because he is so maniacal and has put that part of him to bed, but that part of him is getting inflamed again here, now, that he may not be able to keep himself from being himself and beating the bejesus out of that Joker Jake Paul.
Okay.
And I am here for it.
Okay, so let's run this through then. Then what happened with the slap could be evidence of what you're talking about. Like, in a moment, if that moment was real.
If that moment was real.
If that's legitimate and it's something that Mike put out there to say, I really hate when people step on my feet. And then someone steps on his foot on purpose.
Yeah.
That it may have unleashed
right.
that thing. And then you add it to the interview with Jazzy.
There. Now, here's where we go. How old is this girl?
She's maybe 12.
I mean, I feel
she's been doing this for a long time, though. Like, she's done, like, big events.
Yeah.
I think that she could teach a master's class on how to keep cool.
Oh, yeah.
In a situation like this.
She does a great job keeping cool. But I think this is Mike, you know, obviously, certainly not realizing he's talking to a kid. But also just like unleashing the beast that lurks within. This is Mike Tyson and Jazzy.
In your return to the ring for this fight, you are setting a monumental opportunity for kids my age to see the legend, Mike Tyson, in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Well, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before, someone say that as an answer.
Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when I get dead? Why do you want somebody,
true.
You think somebody really wants to think about you? How? What's the audacity? I think, I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f*** cares about me when I'm gone? Or my kids, maybe, or grandkids. Who the
true.
Fuck cares?
Oh, poor
and,
Jazzy.
And Jazzy is young enough to be his grandkid.
Thank you for sharing that. No one's ever shared that perspective.
No one shared a nihilistic view of life for me before, and perhaps it's valuable.
It's nihilism, but it's also, I wonder if it's 12-step a little bit.
They're 100%
the 12-step of kill your ego, of like take your ego out of it. Like zoom out and look at your place in the cosmic universe. Like it is so much bigger than us, and that certainly goes against the egocentric, I'm impetuous, I am everything that he was. So, but in the ring, once he gets a little taste of the fire.
And the violence.
He's like, oh yeah, I know how to do this. And, you know, I must admit, I'm hoping that that's what I see.
I'm worried. Because the last thing I want is a split decision going Jake Paul's way, or a moment where Mike Tyson falls to the canvas like Nate Robinson did.
Uh-huh.
And with Jake Paul just kind of buying the credibility, I'd love for it to be real. I'm really worried that it's not. If it is, then great. But feels very gross.
Let's go. Do you have any idea? What time is this fight? 7 o'clock?
I think that's the undercard at 7. Yeah. Start. I'm guessing by 9 o'clock we'll get the,
you think so?
The main event.
Shane, do you have any idea? We're doing live sports on Netflix. They don't do it often. They want me for at least 2 hours of this evening.
You think?
It's got to be.
Well, let's see if it turns out the way. I hope that it turns out the way that you want, Speece.
Thank you.
I think that would make it great. Then again, you have to figure out which thing do you want most this weekend.
Yeah, I can't have both.
I don't think you're going to be able to get both, but we'll see. By the way, speaking of this weekend, the Bears and the Packers are playing this weekend. We're going to get back to talking about that because it's weird how to feel about the Packers or this version of the Packers. We'll explain next. It's Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
Yeah, I think it's always important to educate our guys. It was just a 1-minute video that Mike Halbach and his guys put together, and I thought it was well done. So we showed it to them, and just how important that our guys, this team now, is to this rivalry. And, you know, it's another NFC North opponent, and I don't think you can ever look past that. And we always talk about the North and trying to own our division, and right now we're 0-2 versus the division, so it's a big-time game.
Did you show any stuff from the Forrest Gregg, Mike Ditka era?
There were some clips on there that I had no idea who they were, so.
How dare you, Matt LaFleur?
Cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur.
You know your history, Matt LaFleur.
Well, his history is 10-0 against the Bears.
Yeah, that's
so.
A good one. That's a good
I mean,
one.
He really only needs to focus on that. We are at the Broad Stop, by the way, doing the show. If you're in the area, we're going to be here until 6 o'clock. Thanks to the guys from Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha. I was talking to him during the break. What a great tagline. He's like, you know what people like about us at Subaru? Safety. And we talk about loving dogs, man. That's what we're about at Subaru. That's what happened while we were in the break.
Really?
Yeah. Shout out to Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha, man. They get it right.
They love dogs?
They get it right. Safety, love, and dogs. That's what it's about right there.
I'm struggling, Lawrence Holmes, to find Packers that I hate. Like, Aaron Rodgers has moved on, you know? And it felt so good to hate him for so many years. Really satisfying. And I'm still doing it. But he's with the Jets. So now I'm looking around at this team, and I'm like, because there's so much Bears hate and fire and angst right now, but it's all directed at the Bears themselves.
Right.
It's all directed inside the house.
Well, can I offer a suggestion
for
you?
Yeah, I need – there's one person that I think – maybe we're thinking the same guy, but, like, there should be more.
Who
do you got for
me? Well, Jair Alexander is, like, the guy to hate,
yeah,
right?
That's a good one.
But
because Jair, as you have said beautifully – he made himself a fake captain last year. He's like, look at me. I'm the captain because I'm from, was it Denver? Is that where it was? I'm from Colorado.
Charlotte.
Charlotte, thank you very much. Oh, look at me. I'm from Charlotte. I'm going to go ahead and make myself a captain and go out and shake hands. And Matt LaFleur is like, you are not a captain. And you cannot shake hands. He's the man who cannot shake hands. And he got suspended by his own coach for making himself a fake captain.
I mean, that was really bizarre.
He is a pumpkin head, that guy. He's a knucklehead is what he is.
There was a funny moment with him once where there was a reporter doing a live stand-up. And he, like, walked in the back of it. He was being all weird. And it's hilarious. So I was like, oh, I kind of like him now. That he had fun with it. It was like the Jordan Clarkson Utah thing.
Oh, yeah. I also like disliking him because Jalen dislikes him. Jalen dislikes that Jair.
That's the angle that I was going to take with you.
He's a risk taker. Jair's a risk taker. And he got paid before Jalen did because he, like, made a lot of interceptions. But Jalen knows he's not as good in coverage as he is.
I'm just here to tell you. Pack his back.
Like, so it made me like him more after that. But that's what we should do. We've got Jalen's back. No matter what other Bear or Bears thing is going on, if we want to have Jalen's back, then you are well within your rights to be hating on Jair Alexander.
Can I give you a Packer to hate, Lawrence?
Please.
Sure.
Speaks, can I give you a Packer to hate?
Yes, thank you, Shane.
All right, so the active roster is what, 53 men, and the practice squad is 17. How about all damn 70 of them? I hate the Packers. I will never like the Packers. I will never appreciate the Packers because that's what we do as Bears fans. Doesn't matter who's on the team.
You don't need anybody personal, like with issues.
I don't need anybody personal. The Packers are a personal issue in and of themselves to me.
I think a lot of Bears fans do feel that way.
And give it up for yourselves here in where are we?
Kenosha.
We're in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Give it up for yourselves in Kenosha.
If you're Bears fans that hate the Packers, give it up.
Yeah, those words you can't really say because we're on the radio. So
you know, well, how about this, Shane? How about that urine-colored yellow? You know, that ugly urine yellow.
I hate that too.
You do,
I
right?
hate the yellow, hate the green, hate them together, hate the whole team.
Okay, that's fair.
That is fair.
But I think for you, because it's hard for you, Spiegs, personally, to find hate.
Yeah.
You usually careen towards love and optimism.
I do.
I would say that the way that you can lean into that is, hey, Jalen's our guy.
Yeah, it's true.
On the Spiegel and Holmes show, he's our guy.
Yeah.
So guess what? His fight, our fight.
See, I like it. I like it. Texture says, well, at least LaFleur suspends his players. See, even that.
Oh, God.
Because we don't do that.
That's pretty good.
So he's turned that into like, you know. Well, that's the thing. They're good, man. They do things well.
Tyreek Stevenson was suspended, but then he kind of had to play because you had injuries.
And Matt, Eberflus never even talked about it.
He didn't want it to be public.
He didn't even want to deal with it. And
LaFleur was like, hey, this guy did something really stupid, so we suspended
him. Yeah, LaFleur's like, Romeo Doubs? Yeah, he's skipped some practices, and he's crying about stuff, and we're going to send him home for a week. And then he will learn. And then Doubs came back and said, yeah, that was stupid by me. I'm bad. I figured it out.
And I'm going to get better. And then caught a couple touchdowns.
Caught a couple touchdown passes. That's right.
Yeah.
They function.
Isn't that the way that you want things to go, is that you want things to be better after – there being a lot of bad.
Texter says LaFleur, Love, Jacobs. I don't have any reason to dislike Jordan Love. I mean, other than the fact that he's going to be another great one, and it sucks.
And he might throw you the ball.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, their kicker. Brandon McManus is still the kicker, right?
What's wrong with Brandon McManus?
Brandon McManus accosted some female flight attendants.
Oh, yeah.
From Jacksonville. Thank you.
That's a good call.
Brandon McManus is an absolute bag. He drunkenly tried to grope some female flight attendants on their trip back from London a couple years ago, and the charges ended up getting dropped, but it was pretty damn clear that he did it. That's right.
Okay. That's
Thank
fair.
You. That's there gonna, you go. Oh, boo. Boo.
Embrace your hate.
Yeah.
And try not to embrace your hate for the Bears, because we've got a Bears hit with Mark Grody. He's going to tell us what's going on with this team. That is next on The Score.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.